The government has an official Ebola czar as of today. Vice President Joe Biden's former chief of staff, Ron Klain, is beginning work as the chief coordinator of the federal response to the Ebola crisis. Joining us now to map out the road ahead for Klain and for any czar, that is Thad Allen. He's executive vice president of Booz Allen Hamilton. But before that, he was a government czar himself, overseeing the government's response to the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf in 2010 and to Hurricane Katrina before that. Thad, good morning.
Good morning.
So Ron Klain starts work today, and he's being nicknamed a czar. What is the role of a czar?
Well, I think you raise a really interesting question. I've never seen the term czar defined in statute or regulation.
His business card probably doesn't say it.
Yeah, it is defined in Russian history books. I think what we're really talking about is the capability to create unity of effort in the government and bring all of the elements of civil society and the government to bear on a problem that's of high magnitude and interest to the American people. And that it all evolves around, in my view, unity of effort.
And why does the government need to bring in special people to do this?
Well, I think the people are maybe less important than the function you're trying to achieve. In some cases, there's actually a structure in place that kind of mandates how the response is going to be conducted. In the case of the oil spill, there was legislation after the Exxon Valdez that mandated the designation of a national incident commander. When you move into areas where it's not clear from due to a lack of statutory guidance or policy, then you have to figure out a way to create unity of effort across different government agencies where you have either overlapping jurisdictions or gaps between those, and that actually requires a human hand.
And so in the case of the Ebola virus, you can, I guess, assume that, you know, in one part, it falls to the Health and Human Services Department, the CDC, the FDA, the military is also playing a big role. Is it just easier to appoint somebody who comes from neither of those vectors?
Well, you need subject matter expertise. You need experts that are involved in these various parts of the problem, but you also need to be mindful of the political environment that you're operating in. I used to tell people that came to work for me in Washington, you need to learn how to be effective in a political environment without being political. There are two dimensions of this, and they both have to be served.
And considering Ron Klain's background is, in fact, political, he's a Democratic lawyer. He worked for Joe Biden. What role can he play, and what sort of things should he do and should he not do?
Well, I would go back more to the performance you're trying to achieve out of government, which is unity of effort, and that requires some political insight, but it also requires the ability to integrate the inputs of technical experts and the various agencies that have really defined roles in statute. And it's the ability to integrate all that together. So you need somebody that has that political acumen, but you also need to have those technical experts. And the real secret sauce, if you will, to putting this together is how you actually bring that together. When I was running a response and was, quote, supposedly the technical expert, I always made sure that I had somebody on my staff that had the political acumen to be able to advise me about how the larger political process was running. And I did that in both the hurricane and the oil spill.
So because we should say, for those who don't know, you were a career Coast Guard officer. And so you did have that technical expertise. Here you have somebody coming in who has that political background, but yet there are people at the NIH, at the CDC, who are the subject matter experts. And some have questioned why the president couldn't find somebody who was a medical expert as well to lead this role. Do you think that it's so important that Klain has or does not have, in his case, a medical background?
Well, I think it's important to collectively have all the means at your disposal that solve the problems, and you're never going to find that in any single individual, whether they're a career employee or a political appointee or an elected official. What you have to do is you have to put together an organizational structure that integrates all the means that the country has to solve the problem, and there are a lot of different ways to do that, but if you're going to have a political appointee running or coordinating the operation, you need to make sure that he is supported by the technical experts and the folks that have worked on these problems throughout an entire career. Again, there are a number of ways to do it, but the real goal should be to integrate everybody together into a national effort.
And how does Klain, you really never had to do this because you already were that subject matter expert, but Klain has to come in, he's got to establish his legitimacy, his credibility, so that he is telling people what to do and so they do it effectively. What are some of the things that he should do to set the ground so that he can get things done?
Well, I think there's a minimal amount of expertise you need to acquire, even if it's on short notice. When I went down to the Hurricane Katrina response, there were lots of issues related to the water resources in and around New Orleans, things like levee heights and levee performance. So there was a certain amount of learning I had to do with the Corps of Engineers, NOAA, and other agencies. And then during the oil spill, learning how blowout preventers work and the regulatory and the policy practice of the Department of Interior required me to do some studying. So you have to bring in some of that intellectual capital yourself and acquire it. You don't have to have all of it, but you have to have enough so you can be the person that knits this together across government.
And what were some of the challenges that you found in working across agencies that perhaps we don't see from the outside?
Well, the problem is that each agency is going to try and optimize their performance. They're going to try and support the people of the United States and the president, but they are bounded by their authorizing legislation and their appropriations. So there are rules about what they can do and how much money they can spend. And the question is, in aggregate, do all the agencies' resources put together start to solve the problem? And then you have the issues relations with state and local governments. So you have to sit down and really, really look at the problem. And in this case, we're looking at a system of systems with the Ebola problem. And you need to chunk this up into what I would call executable segments and attack them where you have the authorities and the jurisdictions and the resources to go at it, understanding that it's a global problem and this has to be attacked at the source as well.
We're speaking with Thad Allen. He's Executive Vice President at Booz Allen Hamilton and was the former National Incident Commander following the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in 2010. Now, with regards to the local, here in the Ebola crisis, the local, the state governments, and their hospitals are always changing. It seems their protocols, airports and airport authorities are having to be at the ready as well. What role do you see Klain's new appointment as czar playing in all of that? In other words, the trickle down.
It's a very good question. And with the proviso that I am not a medical expert and relying on what I've seen in the press and so forth, it seems to me you can break this down into, again, what I called executable segments. For instance, when a person is brought into the system for whatever reason, they are exhibiting symptoms or they've been tested and they found that there is either a threat or they have the virus, I think at that point there needs to be what I would call life cycle management or continuity of care and management until that patient is either well or we have a less desirable outcome. And I think what we're doing is we're passing it off to different segments of functionality based on regular operating procedures that probably need to be challenged and questioned given the complexity of this event. But I think for that, using this as a particular example, being able to have continuity of management over the life cycle of the event related to an individual will probably go a long way towards removing barriers and making sure we don't have a breakdown between healthcare workers, waste disposal, and biohazard handling and so forth.
You know, we're seeing this sort of thing, whether or not people are dubbed czars, it seems like it's happening more frequently now. For example, along the southwest border recently with all of the unaccompanied children and young mothers with children coming across, FEMA's director was appointed to coordinate the effort. And then before that, there was the healthcare.gov, the botched rollout, where the president brought in one of his trusted advisors, Jeff Zients, to do that for a short term. In an ideal world, should the government have to appoint these so-called czars, or should the federal workforce function in a way that this coordination happens naturally between agencies?
Well, as I said earlier, I kind of question the use of the term czar. I think it may be more of a product of the media than anything else. The real issue here is we're confronting greater complexity in the problems we face, and we're having incidents of greater frequency and greater consequences. And sometimes they challenge the existing protocols and doctrine and how to respond to them. So what we need to do is create the ability and the capability to confront complexity and then figure out how you got to bring these agencies together. Because if there's not a statutory mandated response like there is for oil spills, the country still expects a whole of government, a whole of nation response. And I think one of the things we need to look at moving ahead in government is how do we create leaders that can suspend assumptions, understand that it's going to be more than one agency that's involved, and then be able to create a framework to bring those folks together. You can put a lot of different individuals at the top. It has to start out with the presumption that you're going to create unity of effort, and you have to bring together all the disparate means of government to produce what the American public expects.
Is there a core of federal employees, political or career employees, that could do this sort of thing now? Or right now is the only choice that somebody has to be brought in, perhaps from another agency or from the outside, to specifically tackle a certain problem?
Well, in certain situations, there's a legally mandated lead for criminal activity would be the Department of Justice. And for Health and Human Services, obviously, they would be involved in medical issues. The entire issue of incident response in the federal government, though, is kind of laid out in Homeland Security Presidential Directive 5, which establishes the Secretary of Homeland Security as a principal federal official for a response. Now, having said that, being assigned by a policy document is not self-executing, and the real challenge is to create an organizational structure that allows you to plan and coordinate and be effective across government. And I think that is the current challenge, because the frequency and the magnitude and the consequences associated with these incidents is not going to go away.
And Ron Klain is up for some very long days and probably long weeks ahead. As somebody who has been in similar shoes, what is your advice to him?
Well, I think there are a couple of things to consider. One of the issues that you've heard talked about is the issue of who's going to be the spokesperson. And I think the American public is going to expect somebody to be accountable, to brief them and to provide them information and create transparency. To that end, you kind of have to divide your time in between solving the problem and then explaining what you are doing in a credible manner to the American people. And there's a time management issue, because sometimes there are not enough hours in the day to do that. That's where you have to really bring in a multidisciplined staff to support you.
Thad Allen is Executive Vice President at Booz Allen Hamilton. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.